All right, so we're in the book of Acts, chapter 6. While we turn to that chapter, and we're going to begin about verse 10, but those who are listening to us, you can call us at 856-261-9018, or give us an email, questions@bftbc.org. Glad to hear from you. Questions, comments, or just... All right, we stopped at verse 9, so let's read 10, 11, and 12, chapter 6 of Acts, starting with verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then the suborned men said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Why verse 10, they were not able? Who is they refer back to?
The synagogue.
All right, what is it?
Certain of the synagogue,
verse 9, that's right. So it was the floor of the synagogue. What did they do there?
Gathered together.
So the Jews met, listened for their own type of worship, whatever it may be. And so they were certain of the synagogue. They were not able to resist the wisdom of spirit. Resist, meaning what?
Couldn't refute them,
all right.
Couldn't fight against them.
Now notice wisdom and spirit. One of the qualifications of these seven that were chosen to be deacons or whatever, in verse 5, what was Stephen's particular qualification in verse 5?
Full of faith and of the Holy Ghost.
So they couldn't resist the Spirit and the wisdom. So he had faith, he had wisdom, and the Spirit. Probably the Holy Spirit, but also enthusiasm by which he spake. And then in verse 11, what did these of the council do here? What does suborn mean?
Bribe.
They bribed, exactly. They bought them off to lie. They suborned men. What did these men, these suborned men say that happened in verse 11?
They said they heard him.
Okay, that is Stephen.
They lied.
What did they say he spoke?
Against Moses, against God.
You think that was true?
No.
I don't think so. Now, he, I'm sure, didn't want to follow Moses, but he did speak against Moses, the man. He was a godly man, for the most part, but not against God. So this was a lie. It paid off. Then in verse 12, what else did they do, these leaders in the synagogue?
They stirred up the people.
What does it mean to stir up the people?
They got agitated,
riled up, ready to fight. Really? What is it?
It's sort of stirring up something in general. Mm-hmm. We move it around more.
That's right.
And the molecules are there moving around more excitedly and, mm-hmm. and you know, warmer. And
about it
in terms of
science.
Right?
Yes. Now, in some instances, stirring up is good. Is it good here or bad?
Bad.
That's right. But then stirring up yourselves in the love of God, see, that means to excite yourself and be ready to go and be enthusiastic. But in this case, it's bad. They stirred up the people. Against. Who else? Who did they stir up the people? And now, who is the object of the stir in verse number 12? Stir up the people,
elders, and
elders, scribes, and came from. Yeah, who did they stir up? In other words, the object of the stirring. So apparently, these people from the council stirred up the elders. Now, who are the elders and scribes? What did they do in the Jewish
faith? Can I ask who the people are before we go to elders and scribes?
Well, as it says up front, there are multitudes of the disciples. A lot of people.
These wouldn't be the disciples.
No, these are other people, see.
Like the crowd that gathered?
Yeah, big crowd. In the preceding chapter, we found that last week. How many did it say? 1,000, isn't it?
It was a lot, yeah.
Now, I don't know what all of them were there, just to take a case, but there were a lot of people that were there, and...
it was those that were disputing in verse 9 with Stephen.
The people with that today is what I understand. The people with that just be generally the Jewish people.
Jewish people is right around that area.
Same idea of the people who said crucifying him.
Probably these were Jewish people that were probably in the area.
People.
Yep.
And do you think they went around town or?
Yeah, it could mean
They probably gathered to see the fighting and the battling and the subordination.
But if it was actually gathering Jews, if they were having a meeting, there could have been regular people there.
It talks about the number of disciples multiplied.
Yes.
So there must have been a lot of people.
Maybe others as well.
If they multiplied.
But notice, they distinguished, do they not? Distinguished between people and the elders and the scribes.
Yes.
See, they're people, just the general people, but who are the elders? What are they?
They would be like the leaders.
So the leaders? What do the scribes do?
They wrote the law.
Copy the law.
They were the lawyers.
That's right, they were the lawyers. What did these elders and people and scribes do at that point in verse 12?
They charged him.
Came upon him. What does this mean? They caught him. What does that mean?
They grabbed him.
Yeah. Grabbed him. You think he was running away?
No.
Maybe he was. But they wanted to be. Why did they catch him? Why did they stop him? Why did they?
They don't want him to talk about anything.
All right.
They wanted to bring him to council.
They wanted to bring him to council. They wanted to make sure he didn't get away.
Yeah.
This man that they accused of possibility of killing that young college gal, he brought him to police headquarters, and then he ran off. 1,000 miles later, they caught him. But see, here they want to catch him right here fast, so he wouldn't go. Not that he was going to go, but they caught him, they arrested him. That was called arrest.
She was killed, I didn't.
Well, we don't know. But I mean, you assume she's killed because nobody knows where she is. And this man that they got for questioning, they finally caught him. It's amazing. So, but these people wanted to, and what did they do after they caught him?
Brought him to
council. What is the council? What is the Jewish council?
Sanhedrin,
right? The Sanhedrin.
It was two groups of people.
Scribes, Pharisees. And so that's the leaders of Israel.
Yeah,
all right, and then let's read 13, 14, and 15 together. And set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. By verse 13, they saw false witnesses. What were they? Who are they? What does that mean?
They were the ones liars. Suborned.
Okay, probably subornation. They were paid to lie. These were yes, suborned witness. And then in verse 13, false witnesses. What does a false witness do?
Tells lies.
Right.
And what is the purpose usually of a false witness?
To deceive.
Mislead.
Cause trouble. To cause a conviction where it wasn't.
All right, cause a conviction. And were there any false witnesses in the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Did any of them agree with one or another?
No,
they didn't. But then it finally came. But he said he's going to destroy the temple in 3 days. And what he meant what?
The
temple of his body. So they had false witnesses. What did these false witnesses say in verse 13? What was the charge? Against
speaking blasphemous words.
What are blasphemous words? What does that word blasphemy mean? What is that?
Speak evil.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. And many times it's cursing God and blasphemy before the Lord.
Yeah.
And that word speaks very much evil of, especially evil of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Against what? Against what did they speak?
Holy place.
What holy Jerusalem. Place do you think they mean? Then?
Jerusalem.
Well, it could be Jerusalem, but also maybe the temple, I don't know. Could be the synagogue. Well, it'd be in Jerusalem, that's true.
Yeah.
It's a holy place. But of course, they had a temple there too, which is the holy place. You know, the more holy. No, it's the city.
The Holy of Holies within the holy place.
But the temple has a holy place and then a holy place.
This holy place.
Yes. So
one course, specific place.
Maybe the Holy Church.
Where were they meeting?
Probably the synagogue.
And the synagogue, they claim that that's the place they worship the Lord. So maybe it's this place, maybe the synagogue. They speak against them. Could be the temple.
They discussed.
Yes, certain other synagogues.
I didn't specify exactly where they are.
We don't know where they are, but again,
this council or the council was.
But the holy place could be Jerusalem. That's the holy place. Could be the temple, the holy place. Either of those things could be true. The holy place.
Perhaps it wasn't very specific to begin with.
Maybe not.
It chapter 5, they were in the temple. Verse 20.
Thank you.
And that's a whole different situation, but
no.
But they've been known to go to the temple. Before, yeah. I mean, the synagogue.
But there was no persecution yet. I mean, it wasn't to the extent that everyone spread out. So everyone's probably still in Jerusalem area.
Mm-hmm. Well, in verse 9, it talks about how the synagogue of, and then a certain people, and certain.
Well, there was certain of the synagogue,
and
so
then us.
Yeah.
So they were of the synagogue, not necessarily in the synagogue at the time. Yeah.
So of the synagogue of all these different places, Libertines, Cyrenians, different people, different types of synagogues. So what else did they lie about? The blasphemers against the holy place, what else?
Blasphemers
and the law. What is the law? What does that mean?
Law of Moses.
What was the Tanakh? Tanakh means, how many divisions of the Hebrew Old Testament?
Three.
And T stands for?
Torah.
And Na stands for Naviim, which is the prophets, and the CH.
What's the last one?
Ketubim. That's the writings. So Psalms and prophets. So these are the three divisions. And was that true? Did he speak against the law, do you think?
No,
because it's a false witness. Not that they're going to keep the law. Are we today under the dispensation of the law of Moses?
No.
What is our dispensation called?
Grace.
Dispensation of the grace. And so we don't keep the law of Moses. We keep the New Testament. Yes.
Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, but still aren't we supposed to recognize and keep the law in the sense that Christ himself said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yeah, well, that's the Lord Jesus' commandments.
Yeah, but he never changes, though. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God the Father spoke law, right, wouldn't we have to recognize those laws still? Not that we're under that law, because we're in grace, we're under grace. But still, we don't throw caution to the wind and
the law of Moses, of course.
The laws are rich.
If you work on Saturday, you're killed. If you're blaspheming the Lord, you're killed. If you commit adultery, you're killed. If you're homosexual, you're killed. See, this is very serious.
There's over 600 laws.
Exactly.
But I'm saying, the gist of it, I'm thinking about the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, well, now, but we keep the eight, because the nine, rather, because they're repeated in the New Testament. The one that's not repeated, remember the Sabbath. We don't keep the Sabbath. Sabbath. We worship on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. We keep the Sabbath.
Because in the New Testament, it talks about how we're supposed to set one day apart from the other days to worship God.
On that first day of the week.
Not
the Sabbath. See, the Sabbath was Saturday for the Jews, and the first day for the Christians. Anna had something.
I was just going to say that we have three different types of laws. There's a civil law, then ceremonial law, and
moral law.
I thought
they were
on show
with
Steve, so I was having trouble.
Oh, okay. All right. That's right. So Paul is very clear. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. Very clear.
The moral law.
The ceremonial law. Because Christ.
And we don't have offerings and all these things.
And then the civil law.
Civil law, we're not under any of that. None of that. Yes, so that's rather than fine.
Two quick questions. The first one is, so the Sabbath was changed.
No,
the Sabbath is
always the Sabbath.
Always the Sabbath.
Okay, always Saturday forever.
That's right.
So I know that Constantine did something, and then he made Sunday the Christian.
Of course, the New Testament made that too, see? Day of the week.
The Saturday, was the Jewish Sabbath.
Yeah.
Okay, in the New Testament, it was just the idea that you would gather together in the home, actually, and worship this
Hello, Jacob. Go right ahead, Jacob from Texas. Jacob Roberts.
Pastor Wade, I was thinking about one of them laws that's quite impossible to keep. Remember when Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler, and he called him good rabbi or something like that, but in both of them accounts in the Gospels, the covetousness was left out. You see, that's the thing that's the thought in the mind that we can never actually, totally get rid of. there's always science involved with the flesh. Anyway, I just, you know, I know that he didn't see Christ as deity. You know, he didn't see Christ deity. The rich young ruler, it was not about his money, giving his money away. It was about, he just didn't recognize who he was, and Jesus knew that. He wasn't ready. Anyway, I guess that's about all I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you, Jacob. Let's wave to Jacob Grover from Texas. From Texas, that's right. All right, Paul was very clear, but not at all put under grace. And so, yes.
I'll be brief as brief as I can. So, in the Testament, the idea, and what I understand is that, well, two things. First, the constant thing. And the other idea is that, you know, do not forsake the assembly. So, there's one day that we choose, or I don't know who chooses, but that they chose to worship God. Is that correct?
That's correct. You see, the disciples led the way. When the Lord Jesus was resurrected, they met on the first day of the week, and Thomas wasn't there. And the next Sunday, they met again on the first day of the week. Thomas was there. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, it says, on the first day of the week, lay aside that which God has prospered you, so that no gathering shall I come. So this first day, that's why we worship on the first day.
On Sunday,
first day of the week.
And it has nothing to do with Constantine or
no. He was a mess.
He made
a state religion, state, which
exactly,
is
horrible. Exactly, yeah. Right. And that's why all that paganism.
That's where paganism came in.
Right. Okay.
And so a lot of people say the Roman Catholics are the ones that changed it from Saturday to Sunday. Absolutely false.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament changed. Diana.
Grace goes on the first day of the week. Which
yes.
We worship on the first day of the week.
That's right.
Also,
Resurrection
also,
Day.
It gives a proper start to the week.
Mm-hmm.
And amen.
And prepare our hearts the rest of the week. Whereas the Sabbath was a rest day, a day of rest.
Yes.
And it was naturally at the end of the week.
Right.
But God did not rest on the first day of creation. That wouldn't have made any sense.
Right.
He rested on the seventh day.
That's right.
The whole idea of work. I mean, there are 6 days of work.
Uh-huh.
And then on the seventh day there's rest.
Mm-hmm.
Because the law is given by God.
Right.
I mean, but there was some under the whole the law, which was all based on work, which is
right.
Kind of interesting from that perspective too.
Let's say Lord Jesus fulfilled all the law, and therefore there's no more. It shall all be fulfilled. So they were against the law. Now that was a lying witness.
No, they weren't against the law.
No, but they said that he was against the law, so blaspheming against the holy place and the law. Blasphemous words. That was a false charge.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 14, what else did these liars, false witnesses, think they heard or state that they heard?
That Jesus was going to destroy this place.
Okay, now what was true and false about that? This Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place. What place did they say he was going to?
Probably the temple.
Probably the temple. What did he say about the destroying of the temple? Was it really? Did he ever say anything about the temple?
Not one stone would remain.
There's no place. All right. But one of the times he's talking about the temple of his body, wasn't it? And after 3 days it will rise again. So this was not true.
I will destroy this temple and after 3 days
I will take it again. I will rise
it
again. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 14, what else did he hear him say? Jesus shall destroy this place if it's the temple. That was a false charge.
Mm-hmm.
What else did they charge him the same?
And shall change the customs.
Change the customs.
This is delivered. Interesting.
So as Anna said, the three divisions of the law. Customs, civil.
That was the problem.
Yeah. Ceremonial.
And
moral.
And customs.
Ceremonial.
And so, yeah, ceremonial, moral, and civil. The civil is what you do. So we have the New Testament, and it's a different change. All right, so we heard
that. They call that tradition, man.
Yes,
tradition.
Man's tradition, that's right. And, and then change the customs. Now, when Paul said we're not under law, but under grace, in other places, it's completely, the law is abolished, just plain abolished. It says that in Scripture too, in Galatians. And
in
so,
Galatians it says that?
Yes, there's
the
other
law
places.
Is abolished?
Those who are listening to us, look it up in your concordance for us. Look under abolish and see where that is found. Well, you look unto that which is abolished. In other words, these things have passed away. So they see the against the law, and then heard him say, Jesus shall destroy this place and the customs which Moses delivered unto us. So that's a false charge as well. although it's true in the sense that the customs are not going to be followed anymore. He's under grace. We don't have the same customs that the Jews had. That may be true. And then in verse number 15, what does it mean, all that sat in council? What was the council like? What would we call it today?
The Sanhedrin.
The Sanhedrin? What did they do in the Sanhedrin? What is it?
The Senate.
Like a Senate? No,
they called it the Senate.
Yes, they called it the Senate. Senate. What did they do in that council? What was usually the purpose?
They made decisions.
They judged, they made decisions, that's right. Could be like a court of some kind. And who was the head of the council?
The high priest,
chapter 7, verse 1. Let's see, he's the high priest. He's probably the head of that whole thing, pronounced it. Mm-hmm. So one day they sat in council. What were they doing? Who were they looking at?
Stephen.
Were they just glancing at him?
What's
the word?
Steadfast.
What does that mean? Looking at somebody steadfast.
Staring.
Very strong. Looking right at him. And what did they see when they saw his face?
The face of him.
Who do you think caused that to happen? Probably the Lord. The face just was lightened up. It's almost like Moses when he went to the mount and came back. His face was shining. He had a veil over his face. It was so glorious. So the Lord just caused that steadfast. He saw face to face of angels. Any other comments or questions on chapter 6 before we move on to 7? Quite a lot. Let's read. This is the first martyr of our Lord Jesus. Let's have in verse 1, 2, and 3. Questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comments. Glad to hear from you. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3, starting with verse 1. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Many brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee." Right, who is the high priest again? In verse 1, what is his job or task or duty?
He
presides over the council. Preside over the council. Who is he? In other words, what does he do in his duties? We don't know exactly the name. They had a lot of high priests. In the Old Testament, how long was a person a high priest?
For life.
For life. In the New Testament, how long was he high priest?
I don't know.
Oh, no, just pray. They kept changing him and changing anytime they want.
We had someone's father, the Annas and Caiaphas, they were father's son.
So they didn't follow the law of Moses in the New Testament at all, in that regard at least. So what is the question? He was the presiding officer of the council, probably, the high priest. What questions did he ask, Stephen?
Are these things so?
Why did he ask that, do you think? Why do you think he asked that? Would it make any difference whether they're so or not?
Well, sure. The charges that were against him.
All right. Now, it's interesting that did Stephen have any lawyer, as far as we know?
No.
What do you call that? Appearing in court without counsel. What do you call that? Two Latin words.
Pro se.
Pro se. That's right. Yeah, you got it. What is that?
You should have called
Anthony. Pro se.
Pro se. For by yourself.
By yourself.
That's right. And so I've appeared in courts pro se, and different ones have done pro se. In fact, I won't go into it, but some things don't go well pro se, some other things do. It certainly doesn't. You don't charge yourself, so it's very reasonable if you know what you're doing. Yes.
It's always better to have a lawyer.
Well,
and I'm not just saying that as a lawyer.
Yeah,
but it's support, you know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes
legal
if you got the money, it's all right. If you got the money, they charge high wages.
But thank God, we have Jesus Christ as our Lord.
He's our Lord. In fact, I heard just the other day that in one place in this world, $400 an hour is what somebody's paying for a lawyer. $400 an hour. It's Anna.
It sort of depends on what sort of country you live in, whether or not you want a lawyer.
Because, in
the USSR, when the USSR was the USSR, the Christians sometimes, they wouldn't, if you were being prosecuted for being a Christian, if they accepted the lawyer that the state gave them, then that lawyer wasn't going to
really support that. I mean, he was just sort of not really going to defend him, so mm-hmm. it would be better, no sense, for them to be close there.
Close there.
So,
who do
you do? George
Vincent.
First
say,
yeah, Dan.
Matthew 5:17. Or verse 16, to pick up the context.
Mm-hmm.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill.
Good. Fulfill the law. And then 1 John 1 says, no law is passed, the law shall all be fulfilled. That's the next verse. Matthew 5:17-18. Right.
Yeah.
That's a good verse. Now, yes? I'm trying to think of the matter that I can't even say. Ron.
How is he?
I don't know. I called him one time. He said, well, when he gets up so he can walk around, he'll call somebody to come and pick him up. He just wasn't able to drive. A couple weeks ago, I called Ron, that customer.
Ron,
yeah. He used to come. He was fairly local at Cherry Hill, I think.
He used to
come on Sunday afternoon. Yeah, Bill?
Mr. Carroll has gone to the church that Ron normally goes to on Sundays.
Oh, really?
And there may have been some talk. Maybe Mr. Carroll was saying things to make this church look bad.
Oh, really?
I'm not saying he did.
But I think he's probably still sick. But getting back to the lawyers, you remember that man that's in the Mexican jail? He's a serviceman, and he's in there because he couldn't read the signs and went into Mexico, and he had some weapons, and so they had him in prison for months. He'd been in prison.
Of course, if it was a Mexican officer that crossed the border into the United States, what would happen then?
Yeah, we would find the thing out and just send it back. Just in a different way. But
yeah,
so, what I'm saying is that the serviceman hired a Mexican attorney. The Mexican attorney and a lawyer lied. That's the first one. He's had a second. I think he's on a third lawyer now. I hope they get him out. I wish Obama would got him out. When the Mexican man came to Obama's thing, it was fellowship. Why did he say, get that man out? He's one of our servicemen. He didn't do that. Anyhow, the first man lied. The lie was that...
all the stuff of Bird Dog.
What was that?
With all the stuff of the Bird Dog.
The lie that was told, the question was, have you ever been to Mexico before? And the lawyer told us, say no. He'd been there back and forth. So he had to fire that lawyer. So sometimes lawyers lie because they think it's better. Not all, but... So be a fine.
I heard on the news, I don't know anything except this much. Two servicemen are going to go do something if I do not. I don't. Something new.
Yes, they're walking hundreds of miles. By themselves. An older man in his 50s, mm-hmm. as old. They're walking, trying to make a scene. I saw that about a week ago.
I didn't know what it was about.
All right, so I said all that to say this. The question was asked. Oh, we're in chapter 7. All right. Well, are these things so? Then, what now? He was able to answer by himself, no lawyer, per se. Can I just brief him?
No.
No. Almost the whole chapter 7. He preached the sermon. First of all, he said what? Who did he address them?
How
did
he address
them? Men, brethren, and fathers. In other words, they were
women there.
Was Jews, was he a Jew, Stephen?
Yes.
Was people in the council Jews?
Yes.
Yes, they were. So men, brethren, and fathers. Hearken, what's that mean?
Listen
up. The God of glory, who's that?
God
the Father. God of glory, Jehovah himself, appeared unto our father Abraham. When did that take place? Chapter 16. And when he's mentioning this, before he dwelt in Haran. So he left Mesopotamia and came halfway to Haran and stayed there until his uncle died, I guess. His father, you're right. And then they said unto him, what did God say unto him, to Abraham? Verse 3. Out of thy country. Is that an easy thing to do?
Sometimes
not. Did Abraham obey?
Yes, his father delayed him.
Yeah.
His father's name is
Terah. Terah means delay, you're right. Where God wanted to come under what land?
Canaan.
I will show thee.
He did
as far as Haran. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell. He gave them none inheritance in it, no, not so much as the one put on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that this seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and treat them evil 400 years. By verse 5. What does it mean he gave them none? Or 4, I'm sorry, 4, I'm sorry. Did Abraham obey God? Okay. He came out of the land of Chaldeans. What does that mean? Came out of the land of Chaldeans. He left where he was in Ur of the Chaldees. That's right.
His homeland.
And then it says he dwelt in Haran. Now, was Haran the same as... Haran, yes. But is Haran the same as Canaan?
No.
It's 150, 200 miles north, way up there at the top. We don't have a good man about that. Yes.
It's way also... It's just like, and from thy kindred, kindred is like all his family.
Yes.
So he had to leave his home and his family.
Yes,
the
brother.
That's not an easy thing to do.
No, he brought his wife and some, and Lot, and saw his father.
Yeah.
He brought some, but probably not his relatives, his uncles and aunts, and
his brothers.
His brothers and all.
Oh.
Yes, so he came out of the womb. He obeyed. And from, yes, what happened to Haran, the father?
Terah.
That's his father's name, Terah.
Oh, okay. And it means delay.
And as soon as the father's dead, he removed him. Where? In this land. In other words, he waited till his father died before he moved from Haran, a couple hundred miles south to Canaan, or in the area of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Alright, so he waited there. I guess he just didn't want to take more land, but didn't want to do what he can.
His father probably didn't want to go. Probably his father was ill and sickly, and so he was being compassionate towards him.
Right. And now, see, Lot was with him too, and Lot was his cousin. Was it cousin?
No,
nephew, okay.
Yes.
The uncle, okay, is a nephew.
Wow.
And so he was not too good, as we'll see a little later as well.
Wow.
But
he was young.
He was young. Yeah. So, and it says, in verse number 5, he, who's the he referred to? Who's the he? God. God gave him none inheritance in it. What does that mean?
He didn't give him the inheritance.
In Canaan. Not so much as to set his foot in. What does that mean?
Nothing.
Absolutely. Not a single square inch. When he yet had no child. Why is that brought up?
Wait a minute.
Verse 5. What did we skip?
Yeah. It's a promise.
Yes. Did we skip that?
Yeah.
What verse is that?
Verse 5. You missed that line.
He promised, you're right. He promised that he would give it to him. That was in Genesis 16. He promised he was going to give him something in Latin.
Exactly, yeah.
But he didn't give it to him at that time. He had no child. Why is that brought up? He had no child.
Because
it was hard to get a child, wasn't it? And Isaac, it took a long time, and he went into the summer.
I'm getting lost in the sauce right now.
Okay.
Who are we talking about who had no child?
That's Abraham.
Abraham. Okay.
Had no child.
Okay. The promise wasn't fulfilled yet.
And verse 6, God spake on this wise. What was God's promise here? The seed. What does that mean, the seed? What does that mean?
His
successor, his offspring. If you had to remember, he had no child, yet he's going to have a seed. So you see, Abraham wanted a seed because God promised the seed would inherit. How could the seed would be the Lord Jesus Christ? But normally the seed would be the people who would follow the families. It's sojourn, a stranger. What does sojourn mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In
Galatians,
it talks about as to
see the one. Yeah, that's right. He said, not as by sons of thy, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Not as seeds of many, but one, which is Christ. That particular time refers to Christ. But here, I think it's a matter of that you're going to give the land to the seed, the progeny, those who follow, those that are born after. He gave inheritance. And the seed after him, when he yet had no child. He had no child.
When the sacrifice, when there was the unconditional
election, the promise, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditional promise, that's right. And so that seed. Now, in verse 6, what does it say about the seed? What's going to happen to the seed, these children?
The seed was sojourning land, it was on land.
Strange land. What would that mean? What kind of land is that?
You don't know.
It's Egypt, and it's not the Israeli land. And they would bring forth them into bondage. What happened to the Israelites when they were...
That was also in that image,
when God walked through the sacrifices
that
he offered, split in half and divided them, and he made that unconditional promise.
Promise. And
he told them that his seed
would be in Egypt
for 400 years. Yes. And God fulfilled that, didn't he? And so it says right here again, and he's repeating, that 400 years, you can treat them now in bondage. They were slaves, weren't they? Mm-hmm. And in fact, when God spoke to Moses, said, I want to lead my people out. What did the king of Egypt do? How did he change the rules of their employment?
God gave your own straw.
They supplied the straw before to make bricks.
He said, first he said, you made twice as many bricks.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to make twice as many bricks, but you go find your own straw.
Own straw to make the bricks.
They
can't make bricks.
Well, no, he didn't say that. But no. That's what happened.
That was real bondage, wasn't it? Now, when
that
God...
Torturous
bondage. Now, when God brought them out through Moses in the wilderness, how many years were they in the wilderness?
40.
And now, if it was bondage in Egypt, what did some of the people of the wilderness want to do?
They actually
wanted
to go back.
They remember the leeks, the garlic, and the onions, all these smelly things. But but this was bondage. And what does it mean, this last part of that, and entreat them evil? What does that mean, entreat them evil?
They were treated evilly.
Treated evilly. And,
what does entreat mean?
Well, it means to sometimes ask, but sometimes treat. And act toward them evilly. Yeah. Act toward them evilly.
No, then it says of entreat.
Yes.
Them evil. So entreat is not that they mean evil.
No. I said entreat them evil. I said evil. Yes,
that's
evil.
If we look at the footnote,
what's the footnote say, Anna?
It says treated, behaved toward.
Treated or behaved toward. That's right. Treated or behaved toward.
Sometimes
mean ask. There's several meanings. Just like stir up can be good and sometimes bad, so different things have different things.
Okay.
So it says that 400 years, that's a long time. That's a rough. What?
I mean,
quit right now. We'll come right now. Verse 6. Finish verse 6.
Yeah.
We did finish 6.
We did.
But do you have any comments or questions before we close? We got so caught up in it, or we forgot?
We should pray for Mrs. Mormon. She had that stroke.
Yes.
I don't know any more than that.
Then we have to close and work prayer with Mrs. Mormon. I appreciate it.
Father, we want to thank you. It's time for study by word and the testimony we have from Stephen. Please give Mrs. Mormon the recovery that she needs from the stroke. Brother Mormon, be encouraged by word during this time, and we ask that other people there in the church and the country would come around to her and give her some assistance as she recovers. Help her recover completely and fully. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for...